So I bring my sons in, we'd be doing some task, you know, whether it was doing chores or whatever. And we bring our hands and go, "Orth do tough stuff." And it was all about like, just trying to help them realize like, there's great challenges in life. There always will be. And so I've always thought that, you know, it's great to be able to do sometimes tough stuff. For me, it's never been, my identity's not wrapped up as a CrossFitter. It's right wrapped up as a Christ follower. It's been like, I want to see what I can accomplish. I want to see where my capacities lie with some of the better athletes in the world that are currently doing this same sport. I'm super grateful that I had the opportunity to test myself, challenge capacities. I think as an old man, I'll look back on this year and be like, man, that was an amazing opportunity to do something challenging, something that tested you. You learn a lot about yourself just because you got to face a lot of different things when you're training, and then the competitive side of it and the mental side of it. There's just a lot that goes into trying to perform your best, train your best so that you can compete your best.
Hey, it's Ben Wise, and this is The Fitness Movement. The Fitness Movement is brought to you by Soar Fitness. Soar Fitness is my company, and my platform delivers training content to coaches and athletes like you. The site has educational resources on everything from program design and exercise physiology to skill progressions and movement breakdowns. And in terms of programming, we have our online training program, The Protocol, and I also offer one-on-one remote coaching. It's all at one place, soarfitness.com. Today, we have Bart Orth on the show. Bart is a lead pastor. He's an entrepreneur. He's a husband. He's a dad of four. He's got a lot of different hats that he wears. The hat that we talk about today is the one that relates to CrossFit, and just so happens that he's also a high-level CrossFit athlete. So Bart came to me sort of through the summer and into the fall, and I helped coach him through this year. And today, we kind of talk about, number one, just like how he found CrossFit, right? And then, you know, what actually allowed him to first sort of conceptualize making an attempt to get to the games, why he decided to actually hire a coach, also what the conversation sort of sounded like with his wife around reallocating a lot of his time towards training, dive into Bart's training priorities this year, and then we also just kind of go through an overview of his season through testing of the open, quarterfinals, and semifinal events. Overall, Bart is just a grounded, down-to-earth individual, a true guy of character. And ultimately, I think he does a great job balancing those qualities with being a fierce competitor. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. He's really relatable and has a lot of good insights for my other Masters athletes who are listening. Without further ado, let's get into this conversation with Bart Orth. Bart, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Ben. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, man. So we've obviously spent a lot of time talking together because you're one of my athletes and we were communicating a lot through quarterfinals and semifinals. So this will be a good conversation. I want to start off. So at the 2021 CrossFit Games, you went as a fan and you took a photo with someone. And then I believe after four events in quarterfinals, you were tied to that individual. You want to tell us a little bit about that story and like who that was and like how that happened?
Yeah, that was a highlight. So maybe we'll get into the genesis of my story, where it began. But per that moment, yeah, I took my 13-year-old son, Ben, to the CrossFit Games, really on an exploratory trip to find out, is this something I want to pursue? Is this an environment I'd like to participate in if I could qualify? So went to the 2021 Games in Wisconsin and saw all the elites in each of their respective divisions. And there was a guy named Jason Grubbs. He is a two-time CrossFit age division champ, and got a chance to shoot a picture with him and just, you know, quickly meet him. And then fast forward, you know, almost a year later, it's the four events down, one event to go in the quarterfinals this year. And sure enough, on the leaderboard, who am I tied for? In seventh place with Mr. Jason Grubbs. Now, he did flame me that last event. He beat me by about 20, 30 seconds in event five. But yeah, still, I mean, just thrilling to be, you know, having your name among those who are really, really gifted and good at this sport. So that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was definitely a cool moment for both of us. So when you sent me that photo, I was like, that's pretty cool. Like going from like a fan to like competing. It's like one of the few sports where you get to do that. Like you don't go like watch Tom Brady throw and then like get on the field next to him the next year. Like that just doesn't happen. So
100%,
pretty cool yeah. that you can do that. Yeah. Cool, man. So take us back, you know, rewind a couple of years, because, you know, a lot of the Masters at this point in the sport are still where they didn't age into it. It's not like they were a teen and now they're in the Open division. And that's just something they've always sort of done. Like the Masters have found CrossFit and started it and now have gotten into whatever division they're in now. So like kind of take us through your story of like, how did you find CrossFit? Like what made you interested in it?
Yeah. So interestingly enough, it was almost 7 years ago, almost to the month. No, to the month. 7 years ago, I was taking a sabbatical. I serve as a lead pastor and have for quite a few years. And I had a buddy that I was coaching kids sports with. I was coaching kids wrestling with him. I was coaching his son in soccer as well and just doing kids athletics. And so my buddy Adam, he said, Bart, you would love this. I grew up as a kid with a twin brother and an older brother by 2 years. We all did sports. Loved it through, you know, all the way through high school, had a chance to wrestle through college. After college, got into triathlons for a number of years, did a little bit of adventure racing. And then when I turned 30, I started entering into dad life. And so now I was living vicariously through my kids. We had a son. We adopted two kids from Ethiopia. And so my 30s was really dedicated as far as athletics go, more to just being a dad and less to being an athlete myself. But 7 years ago, I was on this summer sabbatical. We give everybody on our pastoral team, every 7 years, they get an 8 week just time of rest, renewal, refreshment. So this buddy that I'm coaching with, Adam, he's like, Bart, you would love this, man. It's like retro wrestling. Like you get
rest and recovery. Try CrossFit.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You like to suffer. You like to do tough stuff. And so, he kept challenging me, but my life was so full prior to this. It was just like, where am I going to find the margin to add this to the plate of just life as a husband, as a dad, as a coach, as a pastor, as a business owner. I mean, our lives were just pretty full. So I had a little bit more time, obviously, on this. So I jumped in. And if I remember right, my first workout was Helen. I was like, oh, sweet. I love pull-ups. I'm pretty good at pull-ups. And that workout just trashed me. I remember, if I remember right, like the first set of pull-ups, if you're not familiar with Helen, it's a quarter mile run followed by 21 kettlebell swings, I think at 53 pounds, followed by 12 pull-ups. And the first round I got through, I think 12 and four. And then it slowed down significantly from there. The next round was about, five or six sets to get through. And I think that third round, I was pretty close to singles, if not singles, for every pull-up. And I'm like, oh.
Were they like strict-ish pull-ups?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know how to kip, right? It was my first day in the gym of a CrossFit place.
Yep.
So, yeah, I was hooked, though. I was like, you know what? This was exciting. This was fun. So I trained through that summer just in a class format with a great gym here in, I live in Spokane, Washington, and loved the community, enjoyed doing some strength training and some Metcons. They got a little, you know, endurance capacity going. And I just had turned 38. And so I trained for about 7 or 8 more months. And then I asked my wife, at the time, the only age division they had, well, the beginning age division, I should say, was the 40 to 44. And so I had turned 39 and I said, hey, babe, how would you feel if I spent about 9 months just to see if I could crack that top 200? Because at the time the format was, you know, in that age group of the 20,000 plus that entered, the top 200 went on to quarterfinals. And from there, the top 20 went to the games. Now I was a realist. I knew the games was, they weren't only in a different zip code. They were on a different planet than I was as far as fitness went at that time in my life. But I thought, what a great goal to try to train to make the top 200. I didn't make it. I finished, if I remember right, I think 250 something, but I trained pretty, you know, relatively hard. We're talking, you know, 4 to 5 days a week, 90 to minutes to maybe 2 hours a day for 9 months. But that was great. I enjoyed that journey thoroughly. And then what happened from there was I competed in the Open. I didn't quite make it. I was commuting about a half an hour every day in town to go to this gym. But I lost motivation because once the carrot was no longer in front of me, it was a half an hour out a half an hour back. And so it ended up being 2 hours pretty much no matter what. And so, so I transitioned a little bit out of CrossFit for a little while. And I would say the next 3 years after that, I trained probably half the time. I'd train for 3 months, then I'd start coaching a kid's sport and I'd back off. But the game changer was we built a shop 3 years ago. It just, you know, a 40 by 30. And I said, "Hey, honey, how do you feel about half of it being CrossFit?" She was like, "Great. Yeah, let's do it." And then we built it. "How do you feel about 3/4 of it being CrossFit?" "Let's do it." We had CrossFit creep going on in the shop too. Within a month or two, the whole thing was designated a CrossFit.
She's like, "I see where this is going." She's like, "Just take it."
And my wife was great, man. And so, we got 4 Concept 2 rowers, just enough equipment that maybe 5 or 6 or 7 of us could work out at the same time.
Yeah. That is awesome. I mean, I did a similar thing with our garage. I just commandeered that right off the bat. My wife's like, "Yeah, you can have it. I'll park out the lane. It's fine." Like, gave up that battle really quickly. That's so cool. So around 250 something in the age group online qualifier, what was your, like, you know, thought process? How did you track, like, okay, I went from, you know, being somewhere in that range to let's make a shot to make the games in 2022. I mean, that, to most people, that's a pretty big jump. To a coach, someone coming to you with, like, somewhere in that range and being like, "Hey, let's shoot to make the guns." It's like, ooh, that's a big jump. But obviously you had some, I mean, I know you, you're a pretty data-driven guy. Like, what was that decision, or like at least your thought process, like, "I might have a shot at this"?
Yeah. So what happens is COVID hits, and now we've built the shop. And so, you know, at the time of this recording, that's a little over 2 years ago when COVID first hit the scene in March of 2000, what, 20 to 2000. Am I getting my years right?
Yeah, anyway, that's right.
2 years ago. And what had happened was I was already training about 3 to 4 days a week. Just, you know, doing a little bit more general class type stuff. But at the time, our sons were now 16, 14, and 14. And, you know, boys want biceps at that age. And so they were motivated to jump in the gym. And COVID really slowed my life down as far as other commitments. So, you know, in ministry life, you know, I'd have a small group one night and just other things where I'm meeting with people and connecting with people. And
yeah, not having coffee twice a week and
kind of stuff. It's died down. You know, sports were off the table for kids for about a year here. And so my life slowed at a pace where I actually had more time margin to put into training. And I was hanging out with my sons. One of them really got into it. I think he was 12 at the time, maybe 13. And he was working out like 6 days a week. I was like, "Man, my knees can't keep up with you, son." So he was going for it. So it was just fun. It was family time. I had a couple friends that were jumping in. Sometimes I was working out early in the morning, sometimes working out after work, but I just started training a little bit more. And then what happened was, you know, so now this is last year, 2021 season. I'm in relatively good shape because I've been working out 4 to 5 days a week. We're about 4 months from the open. And I just thought, you know, I'm 44. And so it's always tough when you're the older people in your age group. It's always more advantageous when you're on the younger side of your age group. But I thought, you know, I just want to see what I can do. And so again, no aspirations to make it far into the season. So I compete. I think again, I beat my open score at 44 compared to 40, which was kind of cool. I think I was 230 something. And then I've always thought I probably would be a better quarterfinal athlete than an open athlete, just because the skills, you know, you need to have certain skills for quarterfinals that you don't have to have for open. And I have most of the skills, and the weights tend to get heavier. And I'm, you know, among the elite people, I'm maybe average. I'm not the best at strong events, but I can move weight somewhat efficiently. So I did the quarterfinals and I finished in 130 something. Now, you said I'm a little bit analytical. So, you know, the 40 to 44 do the same events as the 45 to 49. So I was just curious. I was wondering, how would I have done if I was in that division this year? And I didn't really know the answer to that, but just ran my scores against the age group in front of me. And I found out, wow, I'd have taken 35th overall. And at the time, top 20 went to the games. And I had a buddy that's like, man, if your four rep front squat was 17 more pounds and you were that age group, you're going to the games. Right. And I was like, wow, that sounds attainable. Then I ran like of the top 244-year-olds, I was one of them in the quarterfinals. How many of them are ahead of me? Because if there's 70 guys ahead of me that are 44, well, I might be buried. I ran that and I would have been ninth. And there were about 10 guys that were behind me within 100 spots. So it was like, you know, I'm probably somewhere around, you know, give or take, depending on the five or six events they throw at you, I'm somewhere around maybe top 50 going into next season. And so my thinking was, I know I can't get there on my own. If I knew how to do all the movements and knew how to program for myself, I'd already be there. It's kind of like golf. Like I've had a slice in golf ever since I was like in college. You ask me, have I ever fixed the slice? No, I just deal with the slice. I aim 15 degrees to the left.
There you go.
Because I know it's going to hook back to the right. And I just deal with it. But you say, is that the best way to go long-term? Well, no, it'd be to hire a golf coach, figure out mechanically what I'm doing wrong, and fix it. And now my game would be better. But I just didn't take the time in golf. But I knew like if I really want to try to chase a big dream and qualify for the CrossFit Games, I'm going to need a coach. I'm going to need somebody that can point out the things that I'm not even aware of. I mean, from mechanics to motion to mobility to protocols for developing strength or definitely mitigating my weaknesses. I had a pretty good grip on where I was subpar, especially among, you know, the best, the better in my division. So that's where you came in. That's where I said, I need to find a coach. I began to explore that journey a little bit. And that was the decision ultimately I made. And the journey took off from there.
Yeah. So obviously there's like a lot of other qualified coaches that are out there. Like why not go with somebody who has, you know, a long history and a bunch of games athletes? Like what was that decision-making process for you? Like knowing you now, like when you started with me, maybe I wouldn't have known this, but because, you know, I think some people just like find somebody and they're like, oh, this seems cool. Let's try it out. But I'm guessing that's probably not what your thought process was. I think it was probably a little bit more in depth than that. Take us through that process. Like what was your vetting process to determine a coach?
Yeah. So, the quarterfinals get over last year. I decided a couple things. I decided, honey, I'd like to go to the games just to see it, because I knew that this was going to be a massive time allocation. If I really decided to go for it, I knew it was going to require, like, I'm going to live a little bit of an unbalanced life for the next year. And I'm going to have to say no to some things that are important, but to chase this. So I wanted to go to the games, and I wanted to find a coach. I'd never listened to a CrossFit podcast ever. And I said, I should probably start learning. You know, if you want to be good or better than you are at anything, you got to become a learner. You have to become a student. You just need to be exposed to information that helps you grow in whatever domain that is in life. And so in CrossFit, I thought, I just need to learn more about it. So I typed in on my phone, you know, CrossFit in the podcast, and about eight of them came up, and one of them was Zor Fitness. And so I started listening to about three podcasts just while I was working out a lot of times. And I listened to yours and I thought, man, this guy, I really like the way he thinks about movement, the way he thinks about building capacity. I love the analytics that he pulls on. I mean, you just would break down movements. You would break down movements like, where do you see them in the open? How often do they come up in the quarterfinals? What if you want to be elite, what types of volume do you need to be able to hit in gymnastic movements? I mean, you had really thought through from a competitor standpoint, you know, here's what you need to do. And, or if you're just, you know, you just want to get better from wherever you're at, you're not concerned about going to the games. You'd maybe love to make it to the quarterfinals, or you just want to grow your capacities. You just had great information. So I listened to about 20 of your podcasts before I ever reached out to you, kind of thinking in my head, I want to go to the games and I think I want to get a coach. And then you and I talked, I think somewhere in the middle of the summer, maybe it would have been June, July. We did a quick intake. I did one other intake with another organization as well. I found out that you were going to the games. Maybe I heard that on one of your podcasts. I reached back out to you and said, hey, I'm going with the son. Let's hook up. You and I, we met at the games. We had lunch together. And then when I got home, you know, finalized it with my wife, just saying, babe, you know, are you on the same page as me? Are you going to let me train and not be mad at me for a year? You know, and my wife's awesome. She was on board to support me. And it's a big sacrifice. I mean, when you do something like this, it's not just your own sacrifice. If you're in family context, your spouse, you know, they support you and they give up time and quality time and different things and your kids. And so the family was on board. We'd sat down and had some conversations like, hey, how do y'all feel? And so they said, yes. So that was it. I was just really impressed, Ben, with your approach to CrossFit as a sport to help you get in shape and be able to do other things in life that you want to do, or to take a competitor's track and really test your own capacities and see what you can do in the area of fitness to grow your own potential. And maybe, you know, if you have the ability, move on to further stages in the games as a possibility.
I think not enough people have a conversation with their significant other before making those kind of big life calls. Like, oh, I want to start training for this goal that I have. And they might think it through for themselves, but they just assume that, you know, the rest of their family and support system is going to be like on board with it. And like, often that, like, that's not the case for a lot of people where, like, man, if you're trying to train, you know, 8 sessions a week, let's say, and you've got a spouse who is like on board and like helping support you and like all that stuff versus like, it's like, yeah, you're going out to the shop again, Bart. Like, okay. Like, try to be quick about it. Like, even like that little bit of difference. It's huge over the, just like emotionally, like, man, just the level that you can actually put into it. So, was that from like experience of like, just knowing that like, hey, I need to communicate with this. What, like, where does that come from for you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always endeavored, not perfectly, but to live a value-driven life and to try to figure out what are the values of my life and how do I prioritize those things. And we're always constantly adjusting those things. But to me, you know, if you said, well, what are the top three in your life? I'd say, well, without a doubt, it's faith number one, it's family number two, and probably I'd throw friendships number three. And then you get into hobbies and other things that we all want to do. And sometimes, honestly, my number four looks like my number one. Hunting season rolls around or, you know, an athletic endeavor. But for me, you know, following Jesus and being on his team, that's massively important to my life. And then, you know, the gift of having a wife and an incredible wife and now 4 kids. And spoiler alert, I'm 45, but we're about to have another baby. This is our surprise. Babe, I'm going to get the surgery as soon as I'm done with CrossFit. I just can't lift anything heavy for 3 days. And so I got to hit the pause button on that for a little bit. But we are going to be having a son. She's 25 weeks pregnant right now. But, you know, family number two, just wanting to have a healthy marriage, wanting to be the best dad that I can be, the best version of myself for my kids, love my kids, love being a dad. And then, yeah, number three, just, you know, life's better when you have people in it with you. And so friends have always been significant. And that's probably the number one thing, at least I somewhat tried to sacrifice. Not that I wanted to sacrifice my friends, but I didn't want to certainly sacrifice my faith or my family. And so probably like when people ask me like, well, what'd you give up this year? Like, that's been the thing I've said. I've said, you know what? I haven't been the best friend in the sense of I haven't had the time economy just to hang with people on evenings or this or that. So I had to sort of minimize that. But yeah, I mean, I think for anybody that's chasing any goal, any dream, you don't want to do it to the detriment of the relationships that matter most. Because I promise you, if God gives me breath to 80 and I'm looking back on my life and you say, what's more significant, you know, having a chance to go to the CrossFit Games or having a marriage that's intact and healthy and moving forward, oh, 100% having a marriage that's healthy. So that's important that you try to, and again, it's my wife, she's not a CrossFitter. She loves being in shape and staying healthy. But sometimes like my goals might be different than hers. And so she did have to say, you know what, honey, I support you. I believe in this. Let's go. So she's been remarkable, but yeah, those are conversations that we had and conversations that we had throughout the journey.
Yeah. I mean, for a lot of people who are, you know, if they're not, you know, a 20 something or before that, it's like, you know, you're in this long-term committed relationship. It's like, man, what do you want to last longer? Like your athletic career or your marriage? Like, oh, you want your marriage to last a lifetime? Well, then maybe you should treat it like it's a, you know, a bigger priority. So, I mean, I think maybe that's just a really mature perspective from you, is being able to say like, these are the things that I value more than CrossFit, even though CrossFit is like higher on the priority list this year than it will be probably other years. I mean, do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, I think so. But in all fairness, that's the mentality I wanted to have. But in practicality, yeah. How did that always work out?
Right.
Sometimes it still is. You are going back out to the shop.
Seriously, yeah, for sure.
You got another session this evening. So no doubt about it. But, you know, that's the priority that I wanted to keep in place. And I think as long as you're being reflective often, like, am I really living the right balance? Am I neglecting this? Where do I need to pull back? We tried to have that continued conversation as this journey unfolded.
Yeah. I mean, you're both human beings still. It's not like you're going to be like, okay, let's agree to this. And then like everything is smooth sailing all the time. Like that never happens for anything. So yeah. No, that's completely fair. So let's go to the training side of things a little bit more. You started to outline this a little bit, but I want to get into a little bit more detail. Like when we started together, what did we, or just you kind of generally knowing before we even started together, like what were your biggest areas of, like, what were your strengths? What were your weaknesses? If we just put it that way.
Okay. I would say one thing that I am is I'm fairly well-rounded in CrossFit, but I definitely had three areas of what felt to me like were pretty obvious weaknesses when it came to trying to have a shot to push the envelope to make it to the games. And those three areas that I knew I needed to improve in, number one would be anything, shoulders, especially like strict, handstand or strict handstand pushups. Just from my build, I'm 6 foot, I gained a little bit of weight, 6 foot, about 205, 203. But I have long arms. My wingspan 6'2". And so, you know, all of our bodies bring a little bit of advantages in some movements and then, you know, challenges in other movements. So for me, you know, when I strict handstand pushup, I got a bit of a range to go. So I knew, I knew that was a weakness of mine. If there's handstand pushups, sometimes I can get into the same thing like clean and jerk. Like the jerk motion, I've always been able to clean more than I can jerk. So I knew that I needed to develop some boulders for shoulders, right? And I didn't have that. So I knew I needed to get stronger in that movement, those movement patterns. Second, just gymnastics endurance. Chest to bars, ring muscle-ups, bar muscle-ups. I could do them. I just knew that I needed to have greater density in time domains to be able to do more and recover and continue other movement patterns, you know, in Metcons. So gymnastics density. And then number three, I think just overall strength. I just needed to get stronger. I think at the time when I onboarded with you, I think my one rep back squat was maybe 370. My snatch, I think, was 195.
I think that was a PR too, like a 370 pound PR.
370 PR. Yes, yeah. Correct. When we did the intake. My snatch, I think, was 195. Anyway, I mean, there's other things, but yeah. I knew like I'm on the low end of average with the top 20 to 30 guys. And I needed to at least try to get in the mid range. You know, it's not like you go from a 370 to a 500 back squat in 1 year of training. These are small adaptations over time, but I knew I needed to, you know, I needed to get stronger. So those were probably the three. My shoulders, I needed to be able to move better there, gymnastic density, and then just overall strength metrics.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. I think just from a practicality standpoint, it's like, if you got really long arms, you know, pushing and pulling, you're just going to be tougher, especially when they're strict, when you can't use your hips very much. And if you're someone who's not super powerful in terms of just like having, like being naturally gifted with strength, like you're probably going to have to be working on that quite a bit. And really, like, those were like our two big priorities, like a lot of the fall. She's like, we were hammering those two. And we can do that a bunch of different ways. So was there anything as we got into training, let's say like on like those sorts of priorities for like your weaknesses type training, was there anything that was different than you expected in terms of like weakness training?
No, I think, you know, one of the things for your listening audience, I mean, if you're looking for a coach, let me just wholeheartedly endorse Ben and Zor Fitness. I was always so impressed that you would program things. Like I hardly would ever have days where I failed. You had me doing strict handstand pushups at least once a week. I was doing overhead stuff quite a bit to say, hey, it's reps. I mean, you got to move it through these movements, but you'd always have rep schemes that were like right on the cusp of attainable. Like I could get them. So always kind of flirting with where my capacities were, but really you didn't miss it much where I just got crushed under a workout. And honestly, I mean, sometimes you need to get crushed under a workout to really drive something, but you kept me right at the cusp of adaptation that my body could manage. And you did that with so many things. Snatching, I mean, I was doing some type of pull off the ground twice a week, you know, some type of snatching progression. So just lots of practice on that particular movement. And then I was getting below parallel on squats. I mean, probably twice a week with, you know, a back squat version or a front squat version. So you were very intentional, I think, to help me have those small gains and small adaptations, but realizing like you don't get it done in a month. I mean, you've been coaching me now for 9 months. It's month to month, quarter to quarter. And let's see where you're at in 90 days from now, not 9 days from now.
Yeah. One of the things I really like doing this in general, I think it comes from my own training. Like I've been self-coached on and off for a long time, but I don't like doing like, and this could just be one of my personal flaws and that's fine. But like, I don't like doing like near maximal back squats. And then it's like, pretty much the exact same thing with like one little tweak the next week. It's like, oh my gosh, like that is so mentally draining for me versus like, even if that was like RPE 9.5, the next week is RPE 9.6. Like that's super draining to me versus like, if I somehow tweak it where it's still like the same stimulus, but it's like written in a different way where it doesn't feel like I'm comparing my scores to last week, but it's like basically the same stimulus and it's really stressful both times. For me, I find it's like I can approach that session with like way more like emotional, like positivity, I guess, versus like just doing the same thing and feeling like it's super repetitive.
Yeah, 100%. I think you had, that's what I've always enjoyed about CrossFit, period, is just the variability to the training. That, you know, how many times have I done Helen? I think I've done it twice in my CrossFit career. And I know it comes up more often, but all that to say, like, you don't always do movements the same. And you did a great job of just creating, diversity and variability. Like, I could tell you're getting touches on similar things, but you would do it in different ways, creative ways. The loads would be different. So again, you're getting those touches on the areas I need them, but you had just great training methodology that wasn't boring and it kept me interested and fresh.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it too. It's like, you know, you don't want to do the same thing every week, but that's also the sport, is that you got to learn how to do novel tasks at a really high percentage of what you're capable of the first time. Because you're probably not going to get a second attempt for a lot of things. So, you know, if you can find a stimulus where you're getting close to like your strict handstand pushup capacity and you touch on that once a week, you can get pretty creative in how you put that into Metcons. I mean, I still think there's a good time to be very structured and linear about progressions, especially in the off season. But like, as you get closer to your competitive season, to be able to, you know, have a little bit more CrossFit-y type feel on a lot of your workouts, even if they are like pretty, pretty narrow constraints on them in terms of like what you're going for, I think it's still really helpful. So did you ever have a moment where you're like, I'm 45 years old and this kid is 28 years old. What does he know about my body right now when he's trying to coach me? I'm sure you had that thought at least some point.
Absolutely. And I don't know if I told it to your face, but I
was you didn't, but I'm sure you did. And I've thought that.
Yeah. And I'd even told my wife and a couple others in this journey, like, I'm talking to this guy, but he's 28, I think. And no matter what they tell you, 45 is not the new 35, and 35 is not the new 25. So, you know, I've been on a plateau as far as, you know, physicality and just where my body's at and explosion and all those types of things. And then you just get into the realities of it, of recovery. I mean, recovery is just massively different at 45 than it is at 25. And so I did have a little bit of apprehension. Like I really believe that Ben understands the methodology of CrossFit in an amazing way. And he programs, I can just hear it in his podcast. Like he really understands how to program to help people move forward, no matter what type of an athlete they are. But I was a little bit concerned, like, is he going to crush me? Are my knees going to hold up? Because I just can't take the same volume and it takes longer to recover. And I did a lot of things, which is another question, but to up my game to recover, that's so essential for a master's, you know, an age division athlete, that they're not equally as focused, but they put great focus on what their recovery looks like. And that's where nutrition comes in and just some sleep comes in and some of the other things we do. But yeah, I was a little bit concerned early on, but you kind of distilled all those concerns probably in the first 6 weeks. Cause I was able to say, I see how he's training. And there were a couple times I had to tell you, hey, my knees are pretty cranky. Yeah. And there were a couple times where you would change the program if I ever gave you intel that suggested my body's not holding up.
For you, yes. I mean, I have other athletes who, like, I always tell them, like, don't feel bad about saying something, because it doesn't mean that I'm just going to like take away your back squats today. But like for certain athletes, if they're telling me that, hey, this is what's going on with my body, it's because there's something going on that's not normally going on. Otherwise they probably wouldn't tell me. So for you, I like basically modified it like every time you told me that, which isn't the case for everybody, but oftentimes if you're a CrossFit athlete, you probably enjoy training. So like if you're coming to me and like saying like, hey, this feels a little off or a little funny, or my knees are a little cranky today, it's like, well, should we just keep hammering that door down? I mean, no, like we should probably, doesn't mean we need to take away at all, but like, let's find a way to be a little bit smarter about it. So yeah, I mean, for you, it was like your knees got cranky a lot. I mean, man, besides that, there wasn't like a whole lot of stuff going on besides just like, you know, just managing general fatigue. I felt like, was there other stuff during your year that you were like, you can remember as being like consistently kind of,
yeah, no, I would say that probably my knees were the things I had to manage the most.
Yeah.
And then maybe a little bit of elbows and wrists. I remember one time I
wrists.
Had a walking workout and I kind of missed the pole on a,
I do remember that now.
Something like that. And my elbows and in my wrists, I had to give a little bit of TLC to every now and then, but that, I also knew that was part of the game, because I'm trying to qualify for the CrossFit Games. And so you're going to have to flirt with that line of maximum adaptation, with making sure you don't get any significant injuries, but you're going to be kind of pushing the envelope where you're going to have a little bit of crankiness, and that's part of trying to adapt and move forward with the development process.
Yeah. And I feel like one of the things that we kind of played with throughout your season, and it's always hard to know if you got it right or not, even in hindsight, but it's like, we can get you on the ergs some, even though like, that's not like your big weakness. Like you're a bigger guy, you're a longer guy, so you're going to move all the ergs well, like they're going to spin well for you. But then it's like, how much do you get on there? And it's tough to know, because like your weaknesses, so to speak, are like more with like a barbell and more with like gymnastics elements. So it's like, that's really neat where you need the most development. I would argue like most people need the most development there, especially earlier on in their career. But those things are also like the most taxing on your joints and just like your nervous system, like the whole thing. That's a tough thing to balance. I don't know how you felt like we did on that. I go back and forth on how I think that we handled that, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the lane that we chose. But looking back now, I mean, I felt like going into the Open, quarterfinals, semifinals, I felt like I was healthy, and I felt like I was, you know, so that was good. You know, I think we flirted with the line on a couple of occasions, not in a bad way, but just, hey, you got a bit of volume.
Yeah, you got to.
You have to. But I never felt like I felt like we didn't cross it where it's like, man, I am chronically cranky in these areas. I am not getting better. Because normally within a week, within days, sometimes like, man, my knees are a little sore, my elbow. Within days, usually I was back, you know, in a place where it's like, nope, feeling solid.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, a lot of that credit goes to you. Like it only works if you give me good feedback and can tell me honestly what's going on and you recording your sleep and your HRV and all that fun stuff for me. So no, I think that communication went really well. I think we had that energy systems development, like it was often like blended cyclical work, like air bike row type stuff. Usually at least like twice a week, even in the off season, just depending on how intense that was and what sort of environments that was in. But yeah, in hindsight, I feel like we did okay. It's tough because we ended up where we ended up. So let's move forward. You know, take us into the season now. How did you feel like, from your perspective, how program design and just like physiologically how you felt as we got closer to competition?
Yeah. You know, to me, it was a little bit like throwing a dart on a board that I didn't have a lot of clarity because for your listening audience, I didn't really know what it was going to take or if it was even possible to go from around 50th to the top 20. And then I received the news about halfway through our training together that the games has made the decision to move the field from 20 age division athletes to 10. And let me just tell you, like take the NFL, there's a difference between the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL and the next 10.
Or your surgeon who did your knee replacement or something. Yeah, same thing.
That's right. That's right. So, so I had given myself, I want to chase big dreams, but I've tried to be a realist because if you're going to dump a lot of time and energy and resources into something, you know, you probably want to know like, what are your shots? And so I had given myself a 15% chance to make the games. It wasn't a zero, but it wasn't like, oh, 100%, babe, we're going to Wisconsin next summer. It was 15% because these guys are savages. I mean, there's some really elite people and there's every person to be, you know, to jump over from 50 to 49 to 42 to, I mean, every person is pretty fit and has pretty great CrossFit capacity. So, and then when the field got whittled down to 10, it was like, oh man, this is really getting challenging, but I've already begun the journey. I want to continue it through. And one other thing for your listening audience, and I'm not answering your question directly, but I think this is probably important to say, you know, in addition to all the training, I think training is probably the most significant thing you're going to do, but it has to be backed up by a couple other significant factors, especially if you're an age division athlete. And the two or three other factors would be, number one, you got to get your sleep in. I got a Whoop for the first time, a Whoop wearable. Sponsored by Whoop. Brought to you by Zor Fitness. If you're not familiar with Whoop, yeah, it just tracks things like sleep and recovery. And mainly that's probably been the most important things for me. But I started sleeping almost without exception, 8 hours a day. Sundays were a little train wrecked to get ready for our gatherings and worship services and all that goes on there. But yeah, I tried to sleep at least 8 hours a day. Because, I mean, sleep directly impacts how you feel the next day to get after a workout. And if you're going on a little bit of minimal sleep, it's just hard to slug through a 2-hour type workout. Second, I hired a nutrition coach for the first time ever in my life. I've always done sports that fueling mattered, but really I was a novice. I mean, wrestling, you got to make weight and you're trying to manage. I mean, a lot of training on a diet and wrestling's weird like that. And then I got into triathlons and fueling matters, but I still was pretty novice. So I hired a coach just for 3 months. The greatest benefit of that was I learned a little bit more about macros and where I should be. And so for me, you might be a nutritionist and you might disagree with this, but what my coach told me was I should be somewhere around 215 grams of protein, 325 grams of carbs, 80 grams of fat. And what I found in the first week was, wow, I'm having a hard time eating this much food. Like I was probably at least 500 calorie deficit, a little over 3000 calories a day. So not an absorbent amount, not a bodybuilder amount, but especially with the protein, I was like, you can't eat this much chicken breast or eggs. And so, you know, I started supplementing with whey protein and I'd done that a little bit before, but it gave me a target to really understand maybe like how to fuel myself better. And I think that really did help. And so, I mean, if you don't sleep right, and fuel right, it just makes training much more difficult. So those are two variables. And then I'll just say this. The third thing that I did that I think did help was I started taking creatine. Now, that's the only supplement I take. Darn it, I don't even take a daily vitamin. But I mean, besides like whey protein, if you want to call
it. Besides your vegetables.
Yeah, and my veggies. But creatine gave me sort of an, I hadn't taken it. I took it one of my years in college, but you got to stay pretty hydrated. And that was tough with wrestling. So I hadn't taken creatine for over 20 years, but I think that it gave me about a 5% boost in my strength metrics really within the first 4 to 5 weeks. So I heard or read that, and somebody might fact check me and this might be wrong, but I think something like 98% of Olympians in this last cycle were on creatine. It's pretty, the longitudinal studies of it, it's pretty well researched. But it does help with, you know, a little bit of strength capacity. So yeah, that's the only thing I took, but those three things I think did help move the needle in addition to all of the training. Now I've meandered from the trail of what your original question was. So bring me back.
I don't even remember what I asked.
I think we're getting into the competitive season.
Oh yeah. 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 Just kind of how that transition went. But no, I suggested about, I mean, we were in communication before we actually technically started together, and I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't see, try it out, see how your body tolerates it. Like, not everyone tolerates creatine perfectly, but if you tolerate it well and you feel good and stuff starts moving in the right direction, then it's like, well, that's, you can be a body of one in terms of your research study and it can be just fine. So yeah, I mean, with the athletes that I work with, creatine has been great. I've only had one or two athletes who have tried it where they're like, eh, my gut can't handle it. And that could just be based on the form that they took it in or what they took it with, if they took it with a meal, et cetera. But yeah, I mean, I've seen people with great results, but you know, taking 5 grams of creatine isn't going to change your life if you sleep 6 hours a night. So that's definitely the foundation. You got that right. The nutrition's, I mean, there's creatine in all kinds of steak and every other kind of, you know, basically animal product that you're eating. So there's, I mean, again, supplements are supplementary, but yeah, I do think that's a good one. So back on track. yeah. So we were getting into your competitive season. Take us through, like, open didn't go super well. You know, open was never sort of our priority. And I tried to kind of reiterate that as it was not going super well. And I was still confident that you'd be fine because I knew your skill set, but also like that wasn't a great result. So where was your, like, kind of walks through the open, like, where did you end up? And like, where was your headspace at during that time?
Yeah, I think I finished 70, maybe third, maybe second, 73rd, something like that in the open, 45 to 49. Yeah. You know, I knew we were training beyond the open. So that wasn't like, it's not like I wasn't trying to be in shape. I was trying to be in shape for the open. But I also thought that those events might not be the best testers of capacity going forward. I really didn't, you know, 70 something was better than 250, 230 something that I'd ever accomplished before, but that's a long way from
10th.
From 10th. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it, you know, if you for your listening audience, if you competed in the 2022 Open, you kind of saw that it was flamethrower events. Like, you really had to breathe and move well. And really most of them, besides maybe the third event, had, I think, some bar muscle ups, but most of it for athletes that are a little bit higher end, you could move through most of the movements almost, you know, continuously, but just breathing through. And it really wasn't muscular failure. It was just like, you didn't want to jump up on that box jump because you were tired. And so would I rather be 175 pounds or 205 on some of those workouts, you know, burpees over the bar and deadlifts at a moderate, you know, moderate, heavy, or middle of the ground weight? Yeah. I might rather be a little lighter. So I thought, you know, there's not a ton of skill in these events. They're great events for what they are, and they should be. I mean, they should welcome the whole CrossFit community. If you're in a gym, it should be movements that you can be able to do, and let's celebrate that with everybody who's a CrossFitter. So I don't have any problem with that, but it's leaving a lot off the table in terms of load capacities going forward and just greater gymnastic skill movements. And some of those things that the average, you know, fire breathing fitness person may or may not have.
Yeah. And so for me, like when I'm thinking about this is like one of the biggest area that's a separator in the higher master's divisions, especially before the 55, where currently gets the weight gets scaled and a lot of the skills get scaled back. The skills and the weights become way more important in those divisions. So like for your division, it's not like you're 36 and then like, you know, in the 35 to 39 of that young one, like you're still in like that sort of that upper echelon before it gets scaled. So it's super important that you're strong enough to be able to lift the same weights that the people in the 18 or the 17 year olds and the 36 year olds are. Like you still have to be able to lift those weights. You still have to be able to do handstand walks and GHDs and do all the movements that you need to be able to do and be tolerate all those super well. So for me, it was like, man, this isn't where we want to be. But at the same time, like I know we're going to see a much bigger skill set that's actually necessary the deeper we get into it. And well, turns out we were right. So let's move on to quarterfinals. Now we basically like didn't really change your training much through. We started sort of comp prep as we got towards the open, but it was more like take your rest day on Thursday, hit your open tester, and then go into the weekend of training after that. Versus like, you know, making sure everything's perfect going into that open test. That really wasn't a concern as much. So I think that was probably part of it too. But take us into quarterfinals. How did you feel like that process went? And then as you got into the weekend?
Yeah. So, and the other thing we did with the open is like, I didn't repeat a workout. It was just one and done.
Right.
Trained through it. I mean, you did deload me just a little bit but yeah, you bet. It was just do my best on the day. And unless something crazy happened, we're just moving on. Right. Yeah. So going into the quarterfinals, you know, from the quarterfinals, the top 30 are going to qualify for the semifinals. And I was, I'm not like nervous, but you bet. It was like, well, here we go. And you and I kind of knew like, this is the weekend I'm probably training for because the top 10 was going to be a pretty heavy lift. So really it was my goals changed. Like when I started this with you, my goal was to make it to the games knowing I have a slim chance. I mean, I have a chance, but again, 50th to 19th is a big jump. When they moved the field to the top 10, I recalibrated a little bit and said, you know what? Gosh, I'd love to be in a live event because you do all this stuff virtual. I'm working out by myself, hundreds of workouts by myself. And I just like to throw down with the dudes. Like, where you at, Jason Grubbs? Let me give you a high five and now let's go. But my goal sort of shifted to say, hey, I want to make it to the semifinals and then we'll just see what happens from there. But I mean, again, to be top 30, that's an incredible honor and in a great goal in and of itself. So yeah, when we jumped into that weekend, I really did. I thought like 20th through 40th was probable and potentially I could do better than that. So, but you know, anything below 30, you're watching the semifinal results come in as a spectator. So so we jump in. You know, the first day has a couple events and we did the max lift and that was fun. I told you in the beginning that, you know, I was squatting around 370. One of the events for the quarterfinals had a max triplet lift. And I squatted 402, which was, that's the first time in my life I've ever squatted. No, that's not true. I got 400 one time in a training session about 6 weeks before, but 402, that was thrilling.
Prior to this year though, never over 370, right?
Yeah. Never. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe even never over even, you know, 355 or something like that. Yeah. And trick press, I don't remember. I think I was 187 pounds, but that was pretty thrilling. And then the deadlift, it was a little bit of debacle. I did it in my gym and I had not one rep deadlift for a long time. I mean, years. And I didn't realize I couldn't load all the weight on my bar. I got to the end of my bar before I ran out of weights having bumper plates. So it was a little bit of a hot mess. I think I got 460, but I was literally taping weights on in the final time domain to try to get like a 485 and I missed it. But there was a little bit of stress going on with trying to find the duct tape with 90 seconds left. So, we did, you know, strength event and then it was just like, you know, events, that was event four. We did it first, but events one and two, you know, hit both of those. One was a toes to bar and 70 pound dumbbell snatch, 3 rounds, 20 of each. And then I think event two was a chipper event, if I remember right. Lots of different movements and tons of burpees. and I didn't know where I would be at, but I think after the first day, if I remember right, I think I was in 23rd or 22nd. And to be honest, I was pretty excited about that. I was like, hey, I'm in the top 30. Let's go. We have
a little bit of a cushion above the top 30. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought my strength would be, I mean, you know, there's some just beefcakes that are in the division that won't necessarily score well in other events, but they're going to throw up some weight. But I thought I would be decent on that. Yeah. So one and two come out. I'm in like, let's say 23rd. I'm thinking, hey, this is exciting. I hit event three the next day. I don't even remember what that event was right now, but it was combined with the strength metric event as well. And I tried to take everything off my plate that weekend. Like I said to our church, and we're a mid-sized church, you know, maybe 500 people on weekend gatherings. Hey team, I'm not even going to be there. And I was coaching my six-year-old daughter's soccer team. At the time, I said, team, I'm not even going because I'm a nutso coach on the sideline. Like I'm loud and encouraging them, and yelling to them where to go. And it's just like an energy output. I was like, yeah. I don't even want to go. But I decided to go to that soccer game. I had an assistant coach and he jumped in to coach. Cause I was done with the third and fourth event. And we had one more event to go the following morning that I was going to crack out Sunday morning. And I'm sitting there on the sidelines and, it's like 1 o'clock. That's my time when they release results. I'm sitting there with my wife and a couple friends that have daughters playing. And I look and I like to start like at the bottom, then like scroll up slowly just to see where I'm at, keep the suspense alive as long as possible. And I had to scroll up all the way to seventh. And I was like, did they mess up? Am I in seventh? We're back to Jason Grubbs. Jason Grubbs and I are tied. Two-time world fittest Jason Grubbs and I are tied at seventh. And so that was pretty thrilling. Seventh or ninth, we were tied anyways. I can't remember what it was. Maybe we were ninth. So that was pretty thrilling. Sunday morning, we had one final event. It was a row handstand pushup, jump rope. And like you said, if it's kipping, I can do okay because I'll send my hips to the heavens. I work way harder at that than most dudes who are strong through the shoulders. So I was able to, you know, go unbroken. But anyway, when it came out quarterfinals, I was in seventh. And that exceeded my expectations. So that was pretty thrilling to have that accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool to see, like, going from 200 something in the world to top 10. And it's like, oh, man. This could happen. That was sort of the plan going into semifinals. Training was still good up to that point. Like you were still healthy, like besides like a little bit of a cranky knee again, like besides that, like there was nothing major that was like a real concern for us going into it. It was more like just like seeing where we stack up and what workouts come out really at that point, because the work sort of put in, Let's sort of do a similar thing, sort of an abbreviated version for semifinals right here. So kind of like walk us through, like, how did you feel overall about the workouts and sort of walk us through the weekend?
Yeah, well, as you have told me in a different life, maybe I could have been an analyst of some sort. So what I did was, I'm a fairly balanced athlete. And like in the quarterfinals, I took something like of all the events, like 22nd, 27th, 32nd, 38th, 52nd being the strength event. So, you know, I didn't like lay an egg on any event.
Yeah. Versus like a lot of people who were like ninth, 159th, like yeah. 13th, yeah. 250 exactly. Something. Right.
There's yeah. A lot of guys
very consistent
field. Some of the top guys were flamethrowers and they did really well and everything, but there were a lot of guys in the field that would do just that. They take fifth. I mean, they're really elite at some events, fifth, ninth, 13th, 32nd, 194th. So right. They couldn't rope climb well. Their overall strength capacity, they They didn't row very well. The 70 pound dumbbell was a little heavier than they like. There was just some, you know, so, but again, when you narrow the field, those weaknesses, like if you can get some first, second, third, fourths, and you know, you do have one event that you drop and it's 26th, but 26th doesn't hurt you as bad as 194th in a larger field. So I actually ran numbers because I wanted to know, like, let's just say it was the top 30 in the quarterfinals. How would I have done? And I wouldn't have taken seventh. I would have taken 17th. So I kind of knew going in to the semifinals, like I'm going to have to really perform because just against the best of the best in my division this year, I'm somewhat middle of the pack. And I don't really have a home run hitter. They're like, I don't know if there's an event. I go, oh, I'm top five in this event. I don't know. But there's not usually an event like I'll be bottom five. But you got to have some top 10 finishes in the semis. So how that weekend rolled out, you know, we trained hard for about 5 weeks in between. Felt good going into it. I knew I couldn't make major mistakes. There's just not a lot of margin for error for me.
Yeah. So if I interject here quick, like I've never planned that hard for a couple of workouts personally or for anybody else. So that was, it was a lot. Like we had a whole spreadsheet where, you know, we were giving you different strategies, having you test parts of workouts. Like once they got released, like I had Chris Hardenberg test the wall ball workout. I tested that workout. I tested a couple of the other workouts. Like I was trying to get some, as much data as I could from everybody. And it was definitely a team effort to try to do that, but go ahead, continue.
Yeah. So what happened this year, and I think this is kind of unique, is that CrossFit released the workouts the Friday before.
Definitely changed things. Yeah.
Came out with all six events, event five and six being together. But they gave you a little bit of time. Now a week, I mean, for age division athletes, probably most of us didn't hit there. There were some that hit the whole workout, all of it.
I would say, but I guarantee you there's people who hit at least a few of the workouts, if not all of them, like as they were written, like fully, which to me is not a good choice at all. Like, why would you want to do the weekend and then go try to do the weekend again? Like you're not going to be able to match that intensity or be able to do it twice. So
correct. Yeah. And so we did a version of all the workouts, but it was like about 50 to 60% of the workout to get a feel for it. You know, the transitions, the movement, the weights. The only one I did the full thing was there was an event that was a snatch ladder, 135 at 10 at snatch at 135, 10 at 185. And then it really went up to 225, 245. But I kind of wanted to see where I was at for that one. And I knew that would be for me kind of a, you know, maybe a sub 4 minute workout because 225 was going to get really heavy. So we tested those, you know, so what happens is that they come out with them. And then the way they don't let you do those in advance is that they come out the day of when the first two are going to be dropped on Thursday, and they have a password. So you have to say the password when you do the event so that it's done in real time. So we do event one. It's a bench press. Now, let me tell you, if you're new to CrossFit, I've been doing CrossFit for, you know, again, on and off for 7 years. I've benched like seven times in 7 years prior to 2 months ago. It's just never been something that's really tested, at least very often at all. And so CrossFit has just kind of stayed away from it. They just don't typically train what's not tested in high volume. So, but they did come out.
Do we do kettlebell swings once? No.
Yeah, that's like, right.
I literally don't think I've ever written you a kettlebell swing.
No, you haven't. No.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Continue. Correct.
Yeah. And so, so they came out, I think, with a flat bench in the, I don't know if it was quarterfinals or what, on the equipment list. And what else do you do with a flat bench? Well, generally you're doing either a bench press or you're doing a, you know, a dumbbell bench press. But so you started working that in for about, you know, at least 6 weeks of my training. I'd get a touch on it every week, some type of pressing bench press. And that was good. Cause I needed it. and sure enough, event one is it's rowing and bench pressing, but to be honest, it's bench pressing. I mean, you do have to row 3,500 meters, but the time to be made up in 3,500 meters in the field of 30 versus the time to get 60 reps at 185, I promise you, it's all about 60 reps at 185.
Yeah, it would have been different if it was written in like the equivalent time, but for calories, because then if you row at like 1,300 calories per hour versus 1,000, that's like a pretty dramatic difference versus is like if you're at 155 for 500 meters versus 151, like, man, you might as well just bench press a little quicker.
That's it. Yeah. And so, yeah, ironically enough, in real time, this felt like the event that I blew. Because what happened was I had tested this event with the 500 meter row, the 30 bench press at 185, 1,000 meter row, and then as many reps as I could do minus one is what Ben wrote up for me in the test to kind of feel how that second round was going to feel without getting through all the volume. I started on this thing. I stuck to my pace. I think I was going for a 148 pace on the row, just move through it, but don't crush myself because you know you got a lot of, you still got a lot. It's going to be a longer time domain. And then I got on the bench press and I was just excited to bench apparently because Ben had broken down. I mean, you did a phenomenal job. Ben had broken down my practice, how long it took me to get through my sets, how long my rests were between every sets. I mean, you had broken the numbers down so I could kind of see. And my strategy was six sets of five. Unless I got cringy and the press started getting heavy, then break it down so you don't go to failure. If you've ever done anything like Murph, or anything where like you got a lot high volume of pushups, when they're gone, they are gone. Strict press, you know, shoulder, handstand pushups, when they're gone, they're gone. So I knew I couldn't like, I couldn't go to failure. So what I did though, is I moved through the first 30, five sets of five. And then I went to a 3 and a 2, but my rest time compared to my practice, I was like, looking back on the video, like 45 seconds ahead. That's a lot less rest time between sets. Rode the 1,000 meters, got back on the bench press, hit a 5, hit a 4, hit a 3. I can't remember. But anyway, on my 14th rep of 20, I failed it. Thankfully, my coach or my judge was behind me and was able to, you know, curl 185 pounds in the moment. And I was like, dang it. You know, I just yelled out like in the workout because I knew I was in trouble. Like, you don't want to fail a rep with 16 reps still to go on the bench press. So I had to on the fly transition to sets of 2 or 3, get through it. Rode 2000 meters. I'm tired now. I mean, it's a good workout. In my head, I thought that I might be able to do 10 bench presses like before the workout, but now I'm like, I have no idea where I'm going to be at. And then that last set turned into a 3-2-2-1-1-1. And so I felt like, dang it, I made a tactical error. I mean, if it comes down to capacity and like I gave it everything I had and that's the best I can do, that's one thing. But when you feel like you made a tactical error, you didn't pace a workout right, it's just kind of crushing. Like, darn it. I mean, you can't redo it. Like what? Am I going to bench press 60 more reps within 12 hours?
Your chest is already going to be destroyed the next day.
Totally. So, so I just was going to have to wait and see on that. Did that event because event 2 was also a longer, those were the two longer time domain events. I think event 2 was, yep, was at the box jump. Yeah. 120 box jumps at 30 inches, going to 8 rounds, going to be 8 legless rope climbs and then a bunch of heavier kettlebell shuttle runs. And I did that event. I felt decent about that event as far as like when I was done, I was appropriately exhausted. But that ended up being my worst event. And so I've learned some things about me, like apparently longer time domains I'm a little bit exposed to. That could be number 4 on the list of weaknesses, is that those longer time domains, I just don't move as well as some of the elites in the division. But yeah, they came out with the score after the first day, and I think I was in 18th place. The irony was the box jump, which I thought, you know, I'm kind of tall, I'll do okay with this. I finished, it was my worst score. I think I finished 22nd, 24th, 22nd, I think.
Yeah, we were both really expecting those two to be sort of flip-flopped. Like I was expecting that bench press to be at least sort of bottom half of the pack, and I was expecting the rope climb to be top half of the pack, and those two got flip-flopped. And
yeah,
you know, I guess that's just, I mean, some that happens different times, right? Where like you think you like have your capacity nailed for something, and depending on the format, the structure of it, like who else is in the pool, like you just get exposed on something. And like frankly, we got exposed on that one a little bit.
Yeah, and the bench press of all things, I ended up 10th. So yeah, I'm my second best score, because yeah, I had a 9th, a 10th, I think a 12th, a 14th, and a 22nd. And
yeah, and we were really worried about the bench press. Like that was one of the ones we game planned so much. And I was like, man, that would have been, like definitely one of the ones that I was like, wow, we really need to get this one right. And we didn't, and it didn't hurt you that bad, shockingly.
I think some of that, without getting too deep dive, is the quarterfinals. When I look at those events, I think it let into, it led into the field of 30, some guys that had greater cardio capacity, but I don't think were as strong because there was not like a heavy barbell. Besides the strength metric of the five events in the quarterfinals, there really wasn't. There was a dumbbell that was kind of heavy, but there wasn't a lot of heavy weight. So some guys who could really breathe well got into that semifinal field, but they weren't as strong, because my two best events were actually the clean and jerk and the bench press.
Yeah. And funny that, so the other event that we did all this work on was we tested the full event for, well, not, we didn't test technically the full event, but we tested up to tiebreak for event three, which was the snatches. So it was 10 snatches of 135, rest 1 minute, 10 snatches of 185, rest 1 minute, 10 at 225, and then 245. And we were like, man, we would be really fortunate to get one at 225. So let's race for all we're worth to get to that tiebreak time at the end of the 185s. And I was like, I know that your battery is really good. Like, you were turning over those 185 snatches like every like 13 or 15 seconds, somewhere in that range. And I might've actually been faster on that second attempt that you made, but I was like, I don't think we're going to get 225, but I was like, I think that we can be in the top one or two athletes who there's a big bottleneck right at that 185 tiebreak time. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. That event was the craziest event. I'm doing it in my own shop. And my judge, a great friend named Jason, he's there. He was super helpful over the weekend. And, I do that event, I come out, and I had done it in 402 the first time. And so for me, I did 433, just very quick on the 10, just, you know, to get through it, power snatches. I come to the 185 bar, I'm moving it fairly well, but on like my seventh rep or something, Jason no reps me. And I stood it up and I was totally confused about it, but I stepped on the back tape line. Now, would CrossFit headquarters have cared about that at all? Because I literally got like half my foot on the line. I did step on it.
Who knows?
And he no repped me. And I was like, what? I thought he didn't think I got stood up and underneath the barbell correctly.
Yeah.
But I kept going. And then I failed my 10th rep. So I got no repped. Twice. I failed my 10th. And then I had to, you know, repeat the 10th rep. Yeah. So, and I still beat my time. When we practiced, it was 402. I think this was 349. But I was like, dang it, I can do better than that.
Yeah.
So I call Ben. My coach is ghosting me. He doesn't answer my call. I was going to tell him like, hey, I think I'm going to hit this event again. Because
To be fair, so you're 3 hours behind me. It was like 10 p.m. when you're trying to call me. I was like, oh, yeah, he's still testing workouts. Like, well, yeah. I didn't even expect you to necessarily. Well, I expect you to hit it the first time, but you ended up hitting it twice. So continue.
Yeah. So I said, you know what? That didn't take a lot out of me. And I think I can do better. This was the only event in my head I thought I might retest. Because every other one, there was something you were doing. Am I going to want to throw another, you know, 180 wall balls or whatever? No, I'm not going to want to do that. So this was the only one, like, it's not going to crush me. So I called you just to say, hey, should I? And thankfully you didn't answer, because you told me like, I don't know if I would have told you to repeat
that. I definitely would have told you, don't do it today. Wait until the morning and retest. Yeah. That's what I
knew,
told you.
You know, I knew the next morning I had a big event and I have to do it after that one. I was like, I think I was gonna have to handstand walk 400 feet.
Yeah.
And I was like, am I going to want to snatch after I just handstand? My shoulders going to be blown up. So I decided I'm going to go for it. And so I did it again and I crushed it. I finished in 3 minutes and 17 seconds. I mean, I crushed it for me. And now here's the thing, listening audience. When I started, I could snatch 195. This is a 185 pound barbell. And I got through those 10 reps in about a minute 30. And if you'd have told me at the start of this, like, hey, I think I can get you to the place where you'll get through a 185 pound barbell in a minute 30, I'd have said, like, well, the only supplement I'm willing to take is creatine. I'm willing to take steroids. And so I was just, and I got under the 225 bar, which I've never stood up a 225. In fact, I've never even tried a 225.
I don't think you ever attempted 215.
Yeah. I'm really in my training. I haven't. And that's probably where I'm at, somewhere 215. I might be able to stand up maybe a 220 on a great day, but I got under the 225 and just didn't catch it, but started up. And so I probably have that in me on a really, really great day. But to go from a 195 to let's just say a 220 in a training season, that's a huge gain. I mean, to move.
Yeah. That's a huge gain at 18 years old, let alone at 45.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So finish that event, those events. After day two, I'd moved up from like 18th into 14th. And then really the last event, it's a wall ball and a clean and jerk. And I guess the event four that I didn't explain was that the big long handstand walk. I had GHDs, handstand walking. And if you got through that, you got to bar muscle ups, which I barely got to bar muscle ups and got four of them. It was really a handstand workout. And I'd never done 400 feet in a row or in a workout. We had done trainings with 200 feet, but 400 feet was a little more taxing. And, but I got through it. I was in 14th place heading into the last day. And now it was kind of decision time. Cause we've been talking about like, am I going to sandbag the wall ball workout a little bit? It's terrifying to have this wall ball workout that like, you got to keep getting through sets. And if you do, you get your time extended, but then you got to do more wall balls.
Yeah.
And then you go right into a 5-minute time domain clean and jerk. And if you've ever tried to clean and jerk in high pressure with your shoulders blown up and you're not sure how you're going to feel, it's a little bit terrifying because you can't lay an A. You got to get some weight up. And so, but we decided like, look, I mean, I got to go for broke. If I'm going to be in the top 10, I can't just score well in one event. I have to try to score well in two events. And, you know, unfortunately the wall ball workout, my shoulders were just roasted enough that we had planned to get through the round of 45 and I didn't. After I got through the round of 40, my like seventh wall ball in the round of 45 was like 7 inches low. And I knew at that moment, like, oh snap, I'm not getting through this. So I just did my best. I every time I pick it up and hit about seven of them, I'd be like jumping on the seventh one to get it as high as I could over that 11 foot. And I just wore out with shoulder fatigue. That wasn't something we had practiced a ton, kind of assuming that probably won't be tested, but it was tested. And I just didn't quite have the shoulder endurance, but I did clean and jerk 267, which I felt really good about because my one rep PR was maybe,
it was 275 and you did it the week before.
Yeah, 275 and we did it in the test.
Before that, it was, I don't know what, but it was lower than that. I mean, I don't think we had pieced together both a clean and a jerk for a max.
No, and we hadn't. I had jerk 290 and I had clean, I think 295, but you're right. I mean, 275. So, I mean, 267 with your shoulders pretty blown up in a 5-minute time domain, yeah. I was happy with that. And I finished, 10th in one, I think 16th in the wall ball or something like that. So ended up, tied for 14th, but they did some adjustments. I didn't lose any more points, but somebody else got a little bit more of an
gained
advantage.
Gained some points somehow.
Yeah. And so finished 15th, and that's where the plane landed for me on the semifinal competition.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I definitely learned a lot from your season, particularly the semifinals, because like you mentioned, like the event 5 and a 6, like it ended up being like a little bit more straightforward than we thought actually might be. So, like for example, like you were in the place where it's like, okay, we kind of got to go for it and try to hit a really high percentage on both of these where you can make it. But if you were like right in sort of like that bubble line, it's like, man, like if you hit a great event 5 where you get a ton of wall balls and you get into the round of 15, you accumulate over 200 wall balls. And now you miss your clean and jerk and you only hit, 80% of what you thought you would. It's like, now you have to redo because you can't do it again, but like you're going to be destroyed and likely you're going to still be way under your capacity. So it's like, you can't mess that up. And if you flip flop that, and it's like, if you sandbag the first part, or you just like mess up and you don't pick up your ball soon enough and you miss a window, like you, again, it doesn't matter if you can clean jerk a house if you didn't get square enough well in the first one. So it was really challenging to balance those two, yes. Especially knowing that you're probably going to accumulate at least 150 wall balls in this workout, not even including your warm up. And this is like at that very tail end of the workout. So it was an extremely challenging thing to do. I mean, I think you did an extremely good job of like pacing it, basically. Like, we gave you a little bit of a tester to feel it out, something similar, but not being able to get a real feel of the whole fatigue of the weekend into it. So I think that went really well. And I also was super proud that of the 11 athletes who got into the 185 tiebreak, there's 11 people all stacked up on that tiebreak time. You were the number one athlete that tiebreak time. And that was like one of like our main goals, was like, get you that tiebreak time. I know that you can get there. So that was pretty cool too, man. Looking back at it, like what reflections do you have? Like not just on like that week in particular, but like the whole season, you know, have you, I know you've had a little bit of time now to reflect on it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I look back and I'm very grateful that I had the opportunity to do it. I'm thankful that the Lord kept my body able to do it, because sometimes you chase something hard and injury brings you out. I've just had a great experience. I knew for me, this probably wasn't going to be my new life normal to spend that much time training. You know, our family, I remember our last sabbatical 7 years ago, our kids were much younger. They were 7, 7, 9. And we just had a baby that was about to be born at the very end of it. Our daughter Galilee. And over that summer, I'd bring our boys together a lot of times, and we put our hands in the middle and we had a little mantra. We'd say Orths, that's our last name, Bart Orth. We'd say Orths do tough stuff. So I'd bring my sons in, we'd be doing some task, you know, whether it was doing chores or whatever, or playing something. And we bring our hands and go, Orths do tough stuff. And it was all about like, just trying to help them realize like, you know, there's great challenges in life. There always will be. Some of those are just personal things we go through, relational things, work itself, adversity, things you're chasing that don't end up like you want, whatever it might be. And so I've always thought that, you know, it's great to be able to do sometimes tough stuff. And that was part of this journey. I mean, I look back now and this has never been about, for me, it's never been, my identity's not wrapped up as a CrossFitter. It's right wrapped up as a Christ follower, but it's never been about trying to be, you know, get ripped. It's been like, I want to see what I can accomplish. I want to see where my capacities lie with maybe with some of the better athletes in the world that are currently doing this same sport. And so it was just such a great journey. I'm really proud of, you know, I worked out several hundred times by myself, and that's a lonely journey because I'm an extrovert. I'm a people person. I want to be among community, but it wasn't practical with my training schedule to bring people along into my own shop for this type of time domains. So I'm super grateful that I had the opportunity to test myself, challenge capacities. I think as an old man, I'll look back on this year and be like, man, that was an amazing opportunity to do something challenging, something that tested you. You learn a lot about yourself just because you got to face a lot of different things when you're training, and then the competitive side of it and the mental side of it. There's just a lot that goes into trying to perform your best, train your best so that you can compete your best. I learned a lot about the value of having a coach. And listening audience, if you're still with us, yeah, I mean, if you really want to reach your capacities, you probably need somebody that has better knowledge on how to get you to your end destination. And you definitely have been the guide or the sage, Ben, that's helped program in such a way, give me advice, and just a lot of, you've added a lot of learning to my understanding of the sport of CrossFit and protocols for how to train to actually reach new capacities. So that's been thrilling. And yeah, I mean, to be stronger than I've ever been as a competitive athlete, at least a chunk of my life, that's pretty exciting to be 45 years old and like, come on, I'll outlift you, 25-year-old Bart, let's go. You know, I'm not going to run with you, but I'll outlift you. And so it's just great. It's fun to have new adventures in life, even in your middle age, even as an age division athlete, to be able to chase new carrots and come pretty close to grabbing a hold of the biggest one in the sport of CrossFit.
Yeah, it was definitely cool. Yeah, you taught me a lot, and I it was a good year, man. So what's next for you?
Well, right now I'm in a reflection season, and as of the time of this recording, I'm not sure. The one thing I haven't done in the sport of CrossFit is actually compete live. I've only been in one live competition. That was 6 years ago. And a big part of me for the life experience of it is I'd like to compete. So there are some other really big, you know, from local stuff to Wadapalooza and Legends. I just have to decide, am I going to continue to throttle, you know, forward for the next 6 months at a pretty high training intensity, or am I going to back off? And because eventually I'm going to transition into those other higher values of my life, and fitness will always be kind of an auxiliary thing that I hope I can participate in. But we'll see. I'm still figuring out, am I going to get a chance? Because I'd like that life experience to actually compete side by side against other CrossFit athletes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see you do it. Bart, thanks for doing this today.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Ben.
Hey, it's Ben again. Thanks for listening today. To be completely honest, it's been really rewarding to have people who listen to the show regularly reach out to me, whether they have a question about training or just to say hey. So if you haven't done that yet, do it. I'm pretty good about getting back to people, and you can feel free to email me, ben@sorefitness.com, or message me on Instagram @sorefitness. And graciously, I've had some people reach out to me and ask how they can support the show. Number one way that you can support the show if you are a regular listener is just by rating the show. Most apps have a platform where you can actually rate it, and on Apple Podcasts, you can write a review as well. This is super helpful in having other coaches and athletes find the podcast, but also just having it grow and for me to continue to want to put out more and more content. Also, I'm going to be posting more full episodes of The Fitness Coaching to our YouTube channel. So if you're someone who actually enjoys seeing my face when I talk, you can head over to YouTube and subscribe if you please. And if you're someone who is watching on YouTube, you have the ability to like our videos, but then you can also comment on the video if you have questions about the episode or if you want to suggest a topic for a future episode. And lastly, if you're someone who really does value what we're putting out, I would encourage you to hire a coach. For me, coaching is the bulk of my job, and it's what I believe I do best. So if you're an athlete or a coach looking to up your fitness game, be sure to reach out. You can message me on Instagram @ZorFitness or email me ben@ZorFitness.com. Thanks again for listening today. And as always, stay the course.